This is Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. I do try to accentuate the positive, but eliminating the negative is not always a matter of choice. So while the articles on my newsreader inform me that in addition to chickening already being legal in most United States localities, cities settling the legality issue are more often than not settling yes. But in the last 2 years there have been some very disappointing losses, such as in Albany and Niskayuna, New York, and as we'll hear more about soon, in Cobb County, Georgia. When the decision is anti-chicken, it comes down not to complaints of documentable nuisance, but to the perception that chickens might be a nuisance, which they only are in the case of the most egregiously irresponsible chickeners, or that regardless of their aesthetic reality, they will just by their quiet, scentless, cute presence cause property values to plummet, which they won't. As a public policy professional, I've learned to be a realist when I really need to be, and I understand that compromises must sometimes be made when seeking reform. And I think we should all strive to get along with our neighbors, I really do, and fully encourage all chickeners to take reasonable measures to ensure their right to keep chickens doesn't infringe on the neighbor's rights to quiet enjoyment. But I'd like to address the neighbor issue in this episode, both for anyone living in a city struggling with legislation, and also for good-intentioned potential chickeners who are considering clearing their chickening with neighbors before they start. I pose to you the rhetorical question. Should you have to ask your neighbors, or would your neighbors ask you for permission before planting a rose garden, installing a swimming pool, buying a motorcycle, adopting a dog, or having children? Now don't be offended, but if not, why not? Because the fact is that all those things are potentially noisy, smelly, a public health hazard, or simply chaotic. And as with chickens, when approached responsibly, none of those choices are an intrusion on the rights of anyone. People don't ask for permission because these things are the norm. And the Bucky Bacall agenda is that small flocks of chickens in suitable yards and gardens across North America should be the norm. It was the norm in towns, cities, and even suburbs until as little as half a century ago, and is still the norm on much of the planet. Chickens provide, as you know, non-toxic pest and weed control, supercharge your garden with their nutrient-rich and compost-accelerating poop, and are charming as heck. And they provide fresh, nutritious, delicious eggs, and sometimes meat, without the need for factory farms and corporate distribution networks that waste energy and generate pollution. Why should you ask permission from your neighbors for improving your own, and really even their, quality of life? In cases where neighbors' permission is a legal requirement, that starts us all on a bad foot by unfairly framing the urban chickening enterprise with the assumption that it will take special effort to avoid an unreasonable amount of noise, odor, germs, or chaos. These are all problems that aren't and shouldn't be the norm with small responsible flocks, and what's more, should already be covered by public nuisance laws. My overwhelming experience with backyard chickens is if a person discreetly starts up with chickens, chances are the neighbors won't even notice right away. I know of many chickeners, including yours truly, who have raised two or three hens for weeks, even months, before the neighbors figured it out. I'm all for going to your neighbors first and saying, "This is what I'm going to do, and I assure you I'm going to do it in a way that doesn't irritate you." But I'm also sympathetic to those who want to just go ahead and see how long it takes the neighbors to catch up, and then politely say, "Well, yeah, I looked it up and found it was legal, so I went ahead. But now that you noticed, after so many weeks, if you have a complaint, let me know, and we'll address it." What has happened to me and most chickeners I know is that neighbors will be fascinated and delighted with chickens, and will even take pride in the fact that they live in a chickening neighborhood. In many neighborhoods, folks are inspired by example to have chickens of their own, and that is why urban and suburban chickening typically occurs in clusters of backyards. In New York State, it wasn't neighbors, but overzealous code enforcement personnel that initiated the legal challenges in Niskayuna and Albany. But what happened to my listeners in Georgia, and many others I've heard from, is that the neighbors found out and tattled. Would they still have objected if they'd been told beforehand? I'd guess probably. So the best starting up approach for a particular neighbor is highly situational and strategic question. A law mandating permission denies the citizenry the opportunity to self-govern, and preempts the kind of innovation that allows communities to adapt to a changing world and thrive. I'm making a conservative argument here, but one that should appeal to liberals as well. One suggestion I hear from other chickeners regarding neighbors is to offer to share the eggs with them. I'm not entirely keen on that because in my experience, 3 to 4 hens, laying an average of 5 eggs a week, roughly 10 months of the year, will not lay enough eggs to share, especially in the case of the smaller breeds of chickens I recommend for urban chickening. Personally, I wouldn't make any promises I might not be able to keep. Offering to share some of the increased vegetable yield you'll get in your garden as a result of having chickens, or offering to share chicken poop fertilizer, is a safer bet. At any rate, bribery is rarely a sustainable strategy in community building. I'd focus on allaying their fears and maybe surprise them with a gift later. What's more, if neighbor permission is legally mandated, "give me some eggs" becomes a form of extortion, which counterproductively pressures the chickener to adopt practices that may produce more eggs, but will also make chickening less neighborly, such as keeping additional chickens, adding artificial light and heat to the equation, or buying smellier processed feed. My replies to the most common fears: noise. Only roosters are noisy. I've defended roosters on this show, but for the vast majority of city and town birders, hens are the only way to go, for legal and practical reasons. I gave up a few roosters over the years. One was particularly difficult to say goodbye to because he was quieter than most and only crowed from 6:50 to 7:10 a.m. every day, only a few minutes before my alarm clock was set. But one out of 5 neighbors in my small apartment building found it intolerable, since at the same time I was busy tolerating him coming home late pretty much every night, drunk and noisy, I took my time rehoming the boy. But I have to admit that trying that one neighbor's patience as long as I did was a risky move, since I was on shaky legal ground. Unfortunately, it is sometimes a rooster creating a nuisance that initiates bans. Remind your neighbors or council members, you do not need a rooster to protect hens or for hens to lay eggs. Hens do not crow loudly and mostly just make a gentle cooing sound, slightly louder but even more soothing than a cat's purr. Occasionally they cluck excitedly, but at their worst they're a fraction the decibel level of dogs, teenagers with stereos or amplified instruments, airplanes and automobile traffic, and other urban noises we've all learned to ignore. Smell. A properly maintained coop does not smell. Chicken poop dries quickly in an open-air coop and is incorporated into the soil, either naturally or by enthusiastic gardeners. Furthermore, chickens eating bugs, weeds, kitchen scraps, and organic feed generate poop that contains a fraction of the ammonia of the poop of massive flocks fed processed, additive-laden kibble. Vermin. Coops that are kept clean with the minimal amount of hygiene required by small flocks do not attract vermin. Only rotting food, broken eggs, or sick chickens generate the scent that will call bad critters, and you will not let those things happen. Furthermore, most city vermin, such as rats, would rather be in urban garbage dumps. Exotic disease fears. Bird flu erupts in overcrowded conditions and is spread from crop to crop by industrial distribution networks. The last time there was a major outbreak of bird flu that spread to humans was 100 years ago when it was cultured and spread by trench warfare. Maps of bird flu outbreaks follow rail lines where factory birds are transported. Wild birds very rarely spread flu because sick and dead birds don't fly. Indeed, the best way to eliminate virulent bird flu would be to replace factory farms with microflocks nationwide. But just in case, remind them you're going to follow the USDA's simple hygiene recommendations. Ugly structures. Chicken coops can be quite lovely. I'm tempted to say Martha Stewart has chickens, I rest my case. But I will also add that you can easily print out pictures of coops from the website mypetchicken.com or an issue of Backyard Poultry magazine to show to your neighbors. I recommend keeping it cheap and simple, but if you're trying to please your neighbors, you may want to invest in one of those trendy little coops. You'll still eventually get your money's worth in eggs, better gardening, and fun. If you need more details on these arguments, I've done at least one broadcast focusing on each of them. Almost all of the shows I've done are archived on radioforall.net, and the shows are labeled by topic. I'd be very pleased to hear that introducing folks to the broadcast opened their hearts to chickens. But I will say that the most effective way to convince is by showing people pictures or taking them to a coop. Finally, as I always, I encourage you to email me with questions, feedback, personal stories, sound files are especially awesome, to Bucky@BuckyBacaw.org. This is Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time.